Good morning, and we appreciate you joining us for the Let the Bible Speak program. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you tuning in. It means a lot to us that you're interested in spiritual things and that you will have an open mind and an open Bible to sit down with us every Saturday morning for the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning on the program, I want to ask the question, do you have a heartfelt religion? Is your heart in your religion? Sometimes folks are one of two extremes when it comes to their heart. Sometimes a person says that he feels in his heart and he's guided by his heart in his religion, but he won't check what the Word of God says. They go from day to day based upon what their heart tells them to do and what their heart leads them to do. On the other extreme, you might have those who have a religion, but their heart is not in it. And they're just simply going through the motions. They're simply going through a ritual and a routine. Friends, we want to avoid those two extremes, and the truth often is found between two extremes. We want to have a heartfelt religion. We want to have our heart in our service to God. But we want a heart that is guided by the Word of God. We don't simply want to be guided by our heart alone. That's one extreme. Neither do we want to serve God without our heart being in it. So this morning, I ask the question, do you have a heartfelt religion? Sometimes we are accused of not having a heartfelt religion because, for example, we do not shout hallelujah or raise our hands during the church service. We do not give testimonials about how we feel. We do not have a lively worship service, according to some. But does that mean we do not have a heartfelt religion? Sometimes we are accused of having a cold, informal religion without any feeling because we don't have these lively things that are found in some churches. But is it true then that we do not have a heartfelt religion? We do. Our heart is in our religion. Our heart is in our service to God, as we're going to see this morning. But we want to make sure that our heart is guided by the Word of God. I'm reminded of a very important Bible passage concerning the heart. If you want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. There is a truth here that is important to remember. Jeremiah writes, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? I, Jehovah, search the mind. I try the heart, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Jeremiah reminds us of two important principles concerning the heart and God. Number one, if we're guided by our heart alone, it can deceive us. It can take us away from truth. Sometimes a person would say, "I would not trade what I feel in my heart for a stack of Bibles." Well, that's someone who wants to be guided by feelings and their heart alone. They don't want to turn to the Word of God to find out truth, and their heart can deceive them. We see all kinds of sin and lawlessness and wrongdoing going on in society. It's because people are being guided by their own heart, and they're deceived. It's corrupt. The second truth that Jeremiah points out in verse 10 is that God is going to test and try our hearts and judge us according to what we've done. what we've done shows what's in our heart. And he's going to hold us accountable for what's in our heart and what we have done, good or bad. So the heart is deceitful above all things. If we allow the heart alone to guide ourselves, it often guides us in the wrong way. That heart of ours has to be guided. That conscience of ours has to be guided by God's word. There's more to the heart than just feelings. When you look at the Bible heart, friends, you find that it has four chambers. Just like our physical heart has different chambers, the Bible heart consists of four chambers. Number one, the intellect. This is the knowing and thinking chamber. This is the chamber that must be educated by God's word. Number two, the emotion chamber. This is the feeling chamber. This is the different feelings and emotions that are described in the Bible, anywhere from anger to joy and everything in between. Then there's the conscience, the judgment chamber, the part of our heart that tells us if we're doing right or wrong. And that conscience must be guided by God's word. Sometimes people say, let your conscience be your guide. And God has put it there to guide us, but our conscience should be our guide only as much as it is guided by God's word. So the judgment or guiding chamber. And then last of all, the will. This is the action chamber. This is the part of our heart that gets us up and gets us moving to do what we need to do. The intellect, the emotion, the conscience, and the will. All of those must be in our religion, not just emotion or feeling, but our intellect must be present. Our conscience must be present. Our will must be present. Do you have a heartfelt religion? A religion from the heart that is more than just feelings, more than just what we think or what we feel. Thinking and feeling need to be a part of our life. But is there anything else there? Is the intellect there? Is the conscience and the will there, along with those emotions and feelings? And is all of that guided by God's word in your life and in mine? This morning, in our lesson, I would like to point out how that our heart, your heart, must be in four different things. And then we'll close this morning with a brief look at what happens in our life if our heart is not in our religion. Yes, we have a heartfelt religion. When Jesus was asked what is the greatest commandment, he said in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, he summarized all of the law with this one statement, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That really summarizes all of our relationship with God. Our heart must be in every aspect of our service. So let's look at our heartfelt religion this morning. There are four things that our heart must be in to be right with God. Number one, your heart must be in your conversion to Jesus Christ. In the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, the seed is represented as the word of God and it's planted in the ground, which represents different hearts of men and women. The seed of God's word is planted in the heart of the unsaved person, and they either believe it or not. They either obey it or disobey it. And so the seed of the word of God is planted in our heart. That is at the ground level, if you will, of our conversion. The heart is also found in conversion in Matthew 13, 15, 19. Luke 8 and verse 15, the parable of the sower. So when the seed of the Word of God enters into the heart of man, the unconverted person must be pricked in their heart. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, when Peter preached that gospel, that seed of the Word of God, and it got into the hearts of those of the audience, the text says that they were pricked in their heart and said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" The heart has to be stirred and pricked and motivated to obey. And notice that the Word did that. Peter didn't offer entertainment. Peter didn't offer jokes. Peter didn't offer food or other kinds of things. Peter preached simply the first gospel sermon, and they were pricked in their hearts, those who wanted to believe and repent and obey. Not everybody obeyed on that day. Which leads me to this point, and that is that when the unconverted hear the Word of God, sometimes they're just simply hardened, and they don't want to do anything. Their hearts are hardened. Stephen preached to those who had hardened hearts in Acts 7:51, and Paul did to some Jews in Rome, Acts 28, verse 27. So the Word, like a seed, goes into the ground, like a heart, and it either germinates or it does not. The unconverted must be pricked. They must not allow their hearts to be hardened, and they need to obey from the heart. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, when he was talking about the conversion of those in Rome, he said, "You obeyed from the heart that form of teaching that was delivered unto you." They obeyed from the heart. The Ethiopian eunuch believed in his heart that Jesus was the Christ, and he confessed that, Acts 8:37. Romans 10, 9 and 10, we must believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, and we must be willing to confess with our mouth those things that we believe in our heart. So conversion requires the heart to be very much a part of that. The intellect, the emotions, the conscience, the will are all involved in a proper conversion. A person cannot be acceptably converted to God unless his heart is in it. And then, when his heart is in it, his heart will be in his or her obedience thereafter. When they repent and are baptized into Christ, Acts 2:38, when they confess with their mouth and believe in their heart, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and they're converted to Christ through these steps, they become a Christian and they are to continue in their obedience to Christ and have their heart in that. Christians are to continue obeying from the heart after their conversion. The Christians in Antioch, Acts 11:23. They were to serve the Lord with purpose of heart. Christians, when they go throughout their daily jobs, are to do the will of God from the heart. Ephesians 6, 5 and 6, Colossians 3, 22 and 23. Christians are to call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. To call on the name of the Lord is found in becoming a Christian. That's found in Acts 2, Acts 22, 16. To call upon the name of the Lord is to appeal to Him for salvation, and you do that through obedience. It's in becoming a Christian, and in 2 Timothy 2:22, Christians are to continue calling upon the name of the Lord. It's not a one-time act, but throughout your life. And you do that out of a pure heart. in our obedience to Christ as a Christian, our heart needs to be kept pure. If there's any sin in it, we need to remove that. Repent of that. Pray for forgiveness. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15 of Christians that they are to set apart the Lord, or to sanctify the Lord in their hearts, and be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks the reason of the hope that is within us. Sanctify the Lord in our hearts. Our heart is the place where we set Christ apart. We're going to follow Him and Him only. So number one, your heart needs to be in your conversion to Christ. And if you need to do that today, let us help you do that. Number two, your heart as a Christian must be in your continual daily obedience to Christ. We do have a heartfelt religion, absolutely. It's not shown by swaying and raising our hands and rolling on the floor and shouting and other kinds of things. No, it's not shown in that way. But we have a heartfelt religion. What are some other ways in which our heart is to be in our religion? Well, not only in our conversion and in our obedience, but also in our worship to God. Our heart is in our worship to God. For example, Christians on the first day of the week, when they're gathered together, they are to discern with their heart in the Lord's Supper. They're to discern in their heart the body and the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for the remission of our sins. 1 Corinthians 11:29. We discern in our heart these things that Jesus did on the cross for us. We remember that. We do it in remembrance of Him. Our heart is to be in the Lord's Supper. Our heart is to be in our singing. In Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:15 and 16, our heart, we're singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, or with our heart. That's the instrument upon which we make melody. Paul didn't say make melody on a piano, make melody with a drum set, make melody with an organ, make melody with a band. Paul tells us the instrument of that melody. In Ephesians 5:19, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your what? With your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Making melody with your heart. When we sing, our heart is to be in the words that we are singing. We don't just simply go through the motions. And that is challenging, I confess, especially when I'm singing songs that I've sung from my childhood on up. I know all the notes, I know all of the words, I have it all memorized. It's simple to just go through that without thinking about it if we're not careful. Our heart is to be in that. Our giving on the first day of the week, Christians gave, not monthly or quarterly or a few times a year, but on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, they gave a free will offering. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9:7 that giving is to be what we purpose in our heart. God loves a cheerful giver, not grudgingly or necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver, and it's what we purpose in our heart. Our heart is to be in our giving. We don't just simply drop some money in a plate and not think or care about that. Our heart is to be in our Bible study and our prayer. So, our heart is in our worship. The intellect, the emotions, the conscience, and the will are all involved in a proper worship to God. And a person cannot acceptably worship God unless his heart is in that worship. So number three, your heart must be in your worship. And number four, your heart must be in the local church and the local congregation that you need to be a part of, friend, as a New Testament Christian. A right relationship with God is not just simply doing our own thing individually at home. But there are times when we must and we are required to assemble together with other Christians to worship God and to carry out other duties of Christ, and that is in a local assembly setting. And our heart must be in that as well. You turn in the New Testament and you find that Christians are to be unified in their heart as they work together in the local church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, the New Testament Christians were unified. They were of one heart and one soul. They worshiped God together. They worked together. In Acts 2:46, day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple. And breaking bread at home, they took their food with gladness and singleness of heart. They were gathered together and unified in belief and love for God and practice. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, Peter tells Christians that they are to love one another with a pure heart fervently. So the purity of the heart and the fervency of the heart, that love will bind Christians together. They will take care of each other. They will support each other, help each other in a difficult world that we live in. So your heart must be in your local church. Again, the intellect, the emotions, the will, and the conscience are all involved in local church membership, and a person cannot acceptably work together in the local church unless his heart is in it. It's not just simply a name on a roster. It's not just simply a pew that we sit and fill and do little more than that. But we are united together in heart and in mind with other Christians around us. So, as you look at the New Testament teaching on the heart, you find that your heart must be in your conversion. Your heart must be in your obedience to Christ. Your heart must be in your worship. Your heart must be in the local church. But what happens, friend, when it's not? What happens when we don't have a heartfelt religion, a heart that is guided by God's Word? Well, you may start to avoid God's Word altogether. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, there were religious individuals, the scribes and the Pharisees. They had made void the Word of God, and they were vainly worshiping God. Their heart was not right with God. They didn't cease to be religious, but they had ceased to obey the Word of God. They were going through outward religious motions and signs. But Jesus quotes Isaiah and says in Matthew 15 and verse 8, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men." And so they had been teaching what man wanted rather than what God wanted. And they gave lip service, but their heart was far from God. You might start avoiding God's Word altogether. You might start to complain. When Paul talks about giving in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, he says, "Not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver." If our heart is not in our giving and in other things, we might start to complain. Number three, we might start to cause problems for other people around us. Our complaining, our problems rub off on others. And so Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5 to serve God. This charge is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience, and faith unfeigned or unhypocritical, from which things some have swerved and have turned aside into vain talking, desiring to be teachers of the law, and then they cause other problems. They have turned aside from a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned, and all it does is cause problems for themselves and others. Number four, we might start to get weak. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 25. Our heart is not in our service to God, so we start to fall away. We might follow error. Hebrews 13 and verse 9. We might be deceived by false teaching, and we might start to become unstable and sin. In James 1 and verse 8, if we have a double-minded man or a double-hearted man, if our heart is not in following God, if we don't resist the devil and flee from him and draw nigh to God, James 4, 8 and following, if we don't cleanse our heart, then we're going to become unstable and we're going to sin. When our heart is not in it, there's going to be problems. Yes, we need a heartfelt religion. In our conversion, in our obedience to truth, in our worship, in the local church. And it's a heart that is not just guided by the heart. It's a heart that is guided by God's word. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want our heart to deceive us. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. We want a heart that is guided by God's word. Friend, what about your heart this morning? What about your intellect? Is it the knowing and the thinking based upon the Word of God? Are you reading your Bible and studying? Can we do that together? Can we read and study God's Word together so that the intellect chamber of your heart will know and think properly? The emotion chamber of your heart, the feelings, will be based upon the Word of God, truth. Your conscience, your judgment throughout the day, right and wrong, will be based upon the truth of the Word of God. Your will, the getting up and acting, will be based upon the Word of God. Let us have a heartfelt religion, a heart that is based upon the teaching of the Word of God. And then go out, and like Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, letting all of it be for Him, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Friends, can we help you to do that this year? Come visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. Visit us online at wbcoc.org. Visit us in person. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard right here in Clarksville, Tennessee. Give us a call, 931-647-1324. Let's get together and learn how that we can love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and have a heart that is truly serving and loving the Lord. Thank you for your time and attention this morning and listening to the Let the Bible Speak program.